Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Hey, Billy.
What is it, Dominic?
I've not got my headphones on. Because
put them on. No, you won't know what I'm saying.
But listen to this. Listen to this. You tell me if you can hear it. Can you hear that?
I'll do it again.
Now, for the listeners out there, not the people watching the show, I wonder what they would guess. You close your, you know what it is, but close your eyes and say your best guess of what you think this is, but not be the actual real thing.
Very cool.
I tell you mine.
Yeah.
An old man running up a hill. In a park, try to chase after his old dog.
Let me hear it again. Oh, yeah.
What would you say?
I would say it was like a Great Dane has got the scent of a squirrel and behind a bush.
And he's chasing after
him. He's going.
How's your dog's nose?
What do you mean?
Has he got a good sense of smell?
My dog's got no nose.
How does he smell?
Awful. Hey! No, he does. I told you he found an opossum.
Yeah, an opossum. Oh, horrific story.
And he found a rat last night.
Was it in your kitchen?
No, it was running through the back garden. And my wife said, was that a rat? And I had to say, no, it was a squirrel. But it was a rat.
Oh, no, sir. But she'll know now.
She doesn't listen to this.
Oh, no, why would she?
Dominic, it's good to see you.
It's lovely to see you. What's been going on this week?
Well, this week has been absolutely packed full.
Ram jam full.
I get up first thing in the morning, and before I know it, it's last thing at night.
We have that conversation quite a lot. I check in with you very often. You never check in with me, but that's fine. I always go, hey, Billy, how was your day? And you go, absolutely slammed. I don't know what went on. And suddenly it's 6 o'clock.
Exactly.
Go, have you got time for a little League of Legends? You say, no, I've not got time. I've not got the brain space for it.
I'm maybe putting something in the oven.
Mm-hmm. Was it a halibut?
A friend came round with...
Frankenstein.
No, a friend came round with... what do you call that? The pasta with the cheese?
Cheesy pasta.
No, macaroni.
Oh, macaroni.
Macaroni and cheese.
Oh, they made macaroni and cheese for you?
Yeah, and he piled it up so high. That when I put it in the oven, he said, put it in the oven for 30 minutes at 425. So I did. Next thing, the whole house was full of smoke because it had dripped off the sides, Dom, onto the bottom of the oven.
Oh, no.
I never put a tree underneath. I should have put a tree underneath it, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And the place was full of smoke.
Fire, fire, fire!
Fire, fire! It was like backdraft. I was scared to open the door.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to feel the handle.
Yeah. Now, did your dog alert you? Did Bobby come over and go...
Nothing.
Just sleeping, going, lovely smell of cheese in there.
Lovely smell of burning cheese. Mm. Lovely smell of burning cheese. And then it sounded like this.
Oh, very strange, yeah. Yeah.
That.
Hubble bubble, boil in trouble, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, what a time you've had. Kitchen Mishaps by Billy Boyd.
And have you done it?
This week.
Doing a lot of doctor stuff, are you not?
I'm having a colonoscopy. Now, listen, everyone out there, if you're 45 or older, there's no shame in it. Go get a colonoscopy. Ryan Reynolds, one of the great modern-day movie stars, and might I say, a dreamboat. Him and his friend, Rob, is it McElhaney?
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 I think.
they both had a colonoscopy on camera to try and rid us all of the shame of a colonoscopy.
Now, well, there is no shame.
You shouldn't be ashamed.
It's more of the hassle, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when are you getting yours?
I'm getting mine done this Wednesday.
Well, we hear
no,
this.
Sorry. Thursday. And you're getting yours done. Yeah. Because Wednesday I'm doing a whole liquid diet. Thursday morning, right. Colonoscopy.
You? Colonoscopy. Monday.
So, when's your liquid diet start?
Well, mine is more intense than yours. I was told not to have any fibre Friday.
Right.
Saturday, kind of just liquid. But
simple food. Soups,
simple food. Smoothies. Simple food. Sunday, only liquids.
No colour.
No colour in them.
Mm-mm.
And then Monday, in we go.
So what will that be for you on Sunday? Would that be apple juice, grape juice? What else are you thinking that's colourless that you can get down? Tea?
Apparently you're also allowed or is this the day before? Like bone broth and all that.
Oh, right.
Were you allowed that?
Didn't stipulate to me whether I could have bone broth or not.
I'll probably just have a day of
nothing.
Water, really.
Yeah, clear soups, juices. Well, I look forward to hearing all about your colon.
Well, you'll be first.
Yeah, well, I look forward to telling you.
Peeling the onion.
Hey, we've had a riddle sent in.
Right, go on. I love riddles. You know that, Tom.
Hopefully, Eddie, our producer, knows the answer to this because we don't. Stuart. Oh, no, this is from Calvin Drake. Ready?
Calvin Drake.
Mm-hmm. I have long been buried.
Hey there, dead body.
It's not finished
yet. Right, carry on.
I'm going to start again, actually.
Okay.
I have long been buried, yet still many wish to sunder my head and bite my flesh.
Sunder my head? Sunder?
Sunder. I do no harm until my skin is pierced.
Aha! Uh-huh.
For then they who pierce me will soon pay with their tears.
An onion!
I think it is an onion,
it's
isn't
an effing onion, yeah, I'm sure of it.
Onion. It's an onion!
The friendship onion!
Incredible. What else is going on?
Let me think, Tom.
Any League of Legends this week?
No. You want a League of Legends update? I'll give you one.
League of Legends update!
I've decided to try new champions because you tell me that I don't play enough.
Did I?
Yeah, champions. You say all you do is Heimerdinger.
Well, there was a point where I did say that, but now you've gone back to playing Kaisar at quite a good level.
Yeah. So now I want to try other things. So I tried Mordekaiser.
Oh, yeah, you've been good at Mordekaiser.
I think it's
important,
rubbish.
Really. I think it's important for you to have two in each lane. So two options in top, two jungle, two mid, two ADC, two support. Because if you're playing Heimerdinger and they ban him and you're like, well, that's all I can play in mid, then you have to dodge. And I don't want to dodge.
I've never dodged.
I dodged the other day because I tried to play Ashe support. Someone picked it in the enemy team. I went for Lux in mid. One of my team picked Lux. I got the jungle. So I was like, okay, I'll play Kha'Zix. And they banned Kha'Zix. I was like, well, I can't play. It's a nightmare.
Dom, you've done well. You can't do any more than that.
Yeah.
So, are you ready to be your own boss yet? Start, run, and grow your own successful business with Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform.
Mm-hmm. Once your store is live, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. Shopify grows with your business anywhere, thanks to their endless list of integrations and third-party apps. Literally everything you can think of, from on-demand printing to accounting to chatbots. Everything you need to customize your business to your needs is already in your hands.
Do you want marketing made simple? Shopify removes the guesswork thanks to the built-in tools that help you create, execute, and analyze your online marketing campaigns. Running a successful business means getting the insights you need to grow wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you'll manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere.
Now, having your own business can be overwhelming at the best of times, Billy. There's so much to do and you feel like it's all on you. The great thing about Shopify is it takes some of that workload out of your hands and makes it really, really simple. So when you're ready to launch your thing into the spotlight, do it with Shopify, the commerce platform backing millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. Go on, try Shopify for free and start selling anywhere. This is possibility powered by Shopify.
Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/onion, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/onion to start selling online today. Shopify.com/onion.
Your business can't keep waiting for your dream hire to sweep you off your feet. How do you find them right now? You need Indeed.
Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview and hire all in one place. Mm-hmm. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments and virtual interviews. Hate waiting? Indeed's US data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job.
Fantastic. Mm. Yeah, I mean, if your responsibility at a business is to be hiring people and you're on a computer, you can sometimes have 10 windows open up
too much
of
stuff.
People and do they do this and do they do that. Mm. Indeed brings it all together. They make it as simple as possible. It's absolutely fantastic. The right candidate is doing everything they can to find you. And if you use Indeed, you can be sure you're doing everything you can to find them too. Finding great talent doesn't have to be a second job. You can reclaim your time and find the talent fast with Indeed.
Indeed knows when you're growing your own business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why when you sponsor a job, you only pay for quality applications from resumes in our database matching your job description. Visit Indeed.com/onion to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/onion. Indeed.com/onion. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application. Pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, Bill.
What is it, Tom?
Jeff is here. The wonderful Jeff Prose.
What's
How's it
up,
going,
Tom?
Man?
It's good to see you. We've never done anything like this.
No, we haven't.
In all the years we've known each other.
We've spent a little bit of time with each other, like off camera and stuff, and you've been very gracious to invite me to some Survivor events that go on in LA, which I've not come to yet. I'm honestly a little intimidated by it because I'm going to meet some Survivor people there. And be like, oh, hey, Boston Rob. I met Boston Rob at your house, got very freaked out. We should talk about the fact that I'm a huge, you know that, huge Survivor fan.
Huge.
I love it. I know.
I'm embarrassed to say that we've never met Jeff. And
nope.
Also, Survivor sort of passed me by somehow, but not now, Jeff.
Just
Billy,
like watching.
It can pass you by. It's okay. It's not for everybody.
No, you've been in my living room these last few weeks, and me and my wife are loving it.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely. I wouldn't lie to you. I absolutely love it.
I said to you the other week, Jeff, when we were texting about you coming on, that you find yourself at this point in a pretty unique situation because you've got me, a Survivor Uber fan, and Billy, a novice to the show.
Right.
And
it's very cool.
You can be right in the middle of this conversation.
It's always, you know, COVID, Netflix licensed a couple of seasons during COVID, and a lot of people that had never seen Survivor saw it.
Mm. Right.
And so I meet people now who are new, and it's really fun to hear their take on it, not having been on a 22-year journey.
Yeah.
They're on a 22-week journey.
Right.
And they see the show very differently because they binge it. So they see all the transitions, you know, in 2 weeks.
Right.
Mm. And it's interesting how that changes their perception of the show.
I'm assuming that you don't personally go back and watch previous seasons of Survivor, or do you?
Not really. I've tried to go back and watch season one, but it is so painful for me personally to just look at myself and listen to myself. That I can't do it, even for fun. I'm like, it's just so painful. This is going to really do some damage to my self-esteem.
Well, I mean, the evolution of the show is extraordinary and something that I definitely want to talk to you about. But I agree. I mean, I've seen every single season of Survivor. It looks like a completely different show. It doesn't even look like the same show.
No.
And in season one, you guys are still figuring out a lot of stuff, right?
In season one, we had 80 crew members. We now, including locals like in Fiji, we are now close to 1,000.
Oh, wow.
We had 80 people doing everything. Mark was carrying tripod sticks. I was everybody. You were traipsing through the mud for an hour to get somewhere because we only had 5 boats and we lost 3 of them in a storm. So, I mean, it was real. And it was also, I remember being in a little, like a, I don't know, it was some sort of cubicle we'd put in the middle of Borneo. And I had a whiteboard because Regis Philbin was doing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and he had this line, is that your final answer?
Right.
And I kept saying, we got to have a line, and everybody's looking at me like, oh, dude, you're overthinking this. But my point being, we didn't even have The Tribe Has Spoken yet.
Right.
We were still, it was just sort of coming all at once. Right. And Mark was such a great leader because he was fearless. If you had an idea, he'd say, I don't know, Dom, that's a pretty good idea. Let's try that. You know, and then you just do it and see if it works.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the format of the show, because this is something that you and I have talked about a lot and something that I know gets you really excited. Survivor is quite a regimented, formatted show, right? And it's something that you really lean into. Is it the idea that you want the audience to be reminded that they are in a game show, that this is a game all the time? Is that the idea behind the format?
Not for me, it's not that. It might be subconsciously what you're picking up on, but for me, it's... I am a big format guy. When I see a good format, I respect that somebody built that format, and it's precise. Mm-hmm. And so with Survivor, the question I always have, because this show is done in other countries, different producers, is what do you think the format is?
Right.
I think the format is philosophical. It's you take a group of people, strangers typically, and unless you're doing an all-star season, and you force them to live together where they must rely on each other to survive while simultaneously voting each other out. Mm. And in the end, a group of the people that you voted out will now decide who wins, who played the best game. What's the best game? Depends on the people deciding.
Yeah.
For me, that's it. You could add in there are reward challenges. There are immunity challenges. Maybe you don't have to have them.
Right.
We don't know. We may get to season where we don't do that. And people will go, oh my God, you've blown it again.
Yeah.
But so I just pay attention and remind myself every season. I go back through, what is this show about? Every episode. We just finished episode 7. One of the things that's really strong in episode 7 is this contrast of rely on each other, but compete against each other.
Right.
Mm. And it's subtle. You shouldn't notice it.
Yeah.
But it's always there.
Yeah. 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 And like, people now playing Survivor are fully aware of the game that they're walking into, and you would think that they would be a little bit more wily about the way that they should behave. But everyone breaks down, everyone double crosses, everyone makes a mistake, everyone lies. I mean, you have to lie in this show.
Yeah.
I think about, I mean, it's my favorite show on TV, and I think about the people in my life playing Survivor, and like Billy, for instance. With respect, Billy, is too nice to play the game.
Yeah,
and that is a respect.
No, I'd be brilliant.
No, you wouldn't.
I would be amazing.
Billy, you don't backstab. You don't say to someone, absolutely, I'll do it, and then walk around the corner and go, I'm going to mess up that person's game. You wouldn't have the you need to be a bit of a, like getting into the needle of the game. I just don't think you'd have that. I don't think you would, Bills. Physically, I think you'd be fine. The social game, some aspect of it, I think you'd be great. To win the game, you have to be a bit of a bad person.
But this is what's great, is Billy has never played, nor have you. Because I always tell Dom, I think he'd be really good. Because he has great social skills. He's got great emotional intelligence. He can read a room and go, man, I don't know, I'm not trusting the eyes on that one. But what Dominic wouldn't know is what you are really thinking.
Yeah.
And in an interview, you could go, it's going to be so hard for my friend when I write his name down tonight.
Yeah.
But he's going home long before I do. And that could happen. And then Dom is like, well, that's bull. I don't know. I'm a better player. I don't know. Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
But I know exactly what you mean. And like I say, I'm new to it. So I'm watching the new one.
Okay.
So I'm watching people who are all fans of the show, playing the show.
Yeah.
But then... like you said in one of the meetings in an early episode there, that why does everyone tell everyone the truth?
Right.
And you're trying to figure it out even at this level. Well, and they're and they're saying because the only thing you have to bargain with is your honesty.
Your trust.
That's your trust. Yeah. If they trust you, then that is such a huge thing.
Huge.
So if you find something and you go in and you tell everyone that you've found it, then everyone goes, oh, I'll trust him.
Right.
So then you've got a little score there.
I mean, maybe. You know,
it's always changing.
It's always changing, and it depends on the group. Yeah, the group dynamic, We're always surprised. This season, Survivor 43 is very different from Survivor 44, but it's the same game.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the people.
Different players. Yeah, yeah. And also, it's such a great show. It changes each week because that dynamic shift, because that person's gone and maybe they had a connection with that person, or maybe they learned to trust that person. What I found over the, as a general rule with Survivor over the years, it's obviously not an exact science, is if you can convince people that they can trust you, even though you're going to stab them in the back, those people seem to go a long way. It's not the out and out trustworthy people like, whatever, Rupert's not going to lie. You think, oh, well, that's someone I can hang on to. It is Boston Rob, where you're like, I really want to trust you, but I kind of know that you're going to screw me at some point. Those people seem to go.
That's a great observation. A you're a lot like that, I think.
Yeah, I can't relate that.
No, that's true, actually.
I wanted to ask you, we're talking about the format, and one of the things that I noticed changed, which is something just to talk about in terms of where we're at right now with society. You drop the word guys from come on in guys. So every time a challenge starts, Jeff, there'll be no one on the beach, and Jeff will say, come on in guys, and they'll all come in. Now at one point, was it last season?
It was 41.
41.
When we came back after COVID, after Black Lives Matter, Me Too, all of this stuff was happening in our culture, all this great movement.
Yeah. And you brought them all together and you had said, as you guys know, or as you all know,
exactly.
I usually say, guys, let's open up the forum here to see what you thought about it. And what I love about that, because I've said this to you recently as well, is those little moments where I see you at the end of the show say, you know, you say, okay, you guys get together and then we'll start the challenge. You have like a couple of seconds now of you going, all right.
Yeah.
And I love seeing the little behind the scenes bit. That was a great thing that featured in the show, where you say to the contestants, you're going to decide. It's not going to be an audience thing. It's not going to be a producerial thing. You guys are going to decide. And they decide to drop the guys. So from now on, you just say, come on in, right?
Yeah. And you've said guys like five times in that. I mean, that's the problem with it. Yeah. I'm glad you asked me, because I have not had a chance to comment on this since it happened. I learned from someone who told me, we were talking about it, and I said, you know, people have criticized, like, we're too woke. Like, you should never do that. And I said, well, I don't know. I have two kids. I have a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. And had I said 20 years ago, come on in, ladies, everybody would have thought that was weird. I want my daughter to know, if you think that's a weird word gender-wise, then I got you. I don't want to be that guy, that person, that guy. But what somebody pointed out to me was, the mistake I made was I made it a moment. And in that way, I made it about me. And he said, you know, if you just didn't want to do it, stop doing it. And I really appreciated that, because I was uncomfortable with making it such a big deal. But one of the things about Survivor, it's like, if you're a Howard Stern fan, you listen to 30 years of Stern, the shows from 25 years ago, he might not do today.
Yeah, he'd be canceled, right?
Right. So I have made lots of decisions creatively, or my grammar, or whatever, that I wish I could change. But I try to treat myself the same way as we treat players. That's what I said. Yeah. So that's in the show. We were, in my defense, it was so top of mind, everything, our language, how we were treating each other. Yeah. I mean, you know, unconscious bias, which I'm still trying to learn about my own.
Yeah.
So I was really concerned that I don't want, this is my one opportunity. We've been off the air, COVID happened. So I made that decision. If I could do it again, I would do what this guy suggested. And he's a big movie producer, a very smart guy. And I would have just done it and said, this was for me.
Yeah.
And I don't have to explain it.
Yeah. I understand. I personally love the moment. It's one of the things that I love about you the most. When I've spent time at your house having a party, you and your wife will be like, hey, we're going to have this conversation. We're going to talk about this thing that might be a little bit icky. We're going to dive in. We're here. No one's moving. I love friends like that. I love people that just kind of say, let's talk about something that's going to be a little triggering. Right. Let's talk about something a little bit delicate. Hey, Billy.
What?
Do you remember the days before streaming services?
I do.
You'd come home from maybe school. It was only a few hours until that TV show that everyone at school was watching.
I know.
And maybe your friends would come over.
Yeah.
Yeah, your friends would come over. You'd have some popcorn, maybe a little can of Coke or something. Well, in 1999, do you want to guess what that show was?
It was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You've nailed it.
In the new podcast from Wondery, the rewatcher Buffy the Vampire Slayer, we're taking it back to 1999. Ooh. Get out your knee-high boots and paste that poster of Angel on the wall. It's time to enter the Buffyverse. Join Morbid co-hosts Ash and Elena as they slay their way through Buffy's drama, action and romance, episode by episode.
Fantastic. Enter the Buffyverse with Elena and Ash. Listen to the rewatcher Buffy the Vampire Slayer on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or listen early and ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app. Reserve Bar is your online source for premium and luxury spirits, wine and champagne. And now Reserve Bar offers same-day delivery.
Reserve Bar has a vast lineup of rare and hard-to-find bottles, premium brands, celebrity spirits and limited releases that you just won't find in your local store.
I know.
No one does spirit gifting better than Reserve Bar. You're looking for an elevated gift? ReserveBar.com has you covered. And you can have that gift delivered right to their door. Even better, turn that spirit's gift into a cherished memento with custom engraving. Perfect for birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, Father's Day, you name it.
Yeah.
Getting into home bartending? Reserve Bar has everything you need. Spirits for the shelves? Sure. But they also have every barware tool and glass you'll need.
Mm-hmm. Reserve Bar has a great feature called Cocktail Lounge. This is a treasure trove of cocktail recipes, bartending tips, interviews with master distillers, celebrities and more. And the hot trend in spirits, Billy, is ready to drink cocktails.
Have you tried them?
Yes, they're delicious.
You're drinking one right now. They taste better than ever. And Reserve Bar has a huge collection of them. These canned cocktails are great for parties when you don't have time to tend the bar or for tailgating season, which supposedly is fully in swing right now. Reserve Bar also has barware, glassware, cocktail recipes, and more. Need something for a party tonight? Reserve Bar now offers same-day delivery straight to your door. Did you forget that special birthday gift? Reserve Bar to the rescue with same-day delivery.
Visit ReserveBar.com today and use promo code ONION to save $10 off your purchase of $75 or more on spirits, wine or pre-made cocktails. But only when you use our special offer at ReserveBar.com with the code ONION. That's ReserveBar.com and code ONION. This offer expires December 31st, 2022.
Let me ask about the buff, since I'm wearing a buff right now, yeah. one of my favourite things. What are the rules with the buffs? Is the rule that you have to wear it at some part of your body at all times?
Yes.
Anywhere?
Yeah, anywhere. Okay. And it's really just, it goes back to the very beginning when we were trying to figure out how do you let the audience identify that that's one tribe and that's the other tribe. And the easiest way is just color. Yeah. We're not going to give them uniforms. Like at one point, I remember somebody saying, well, they could all wear shirts. And we're like, no, they're going to wear their clothes. So we try to get, we know who's going to be on which tribe. We'll say, hey, Dom, you're going to be on a tribe. Could you look in the blues or the purples?
Yeah.
And the same with the buffs. And it's just so that when you're in a shot, you're reminded, oh, that's right. Dom is not on Billy's tribe. Billy has a blue buff.
Right.
It's again, it goes back to, you're picking up on the little tiny things of the fabric of the tapestry.
Yeah.
If you lost the buffs, would the show change? No, but it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, yeah.
I think still the most popular item at CBS.com is a Survivor buff.
I love the buff.
What is a buff?
These things.
Why is it called a buff?
Well, it's just the name of the thing, right? But it's a buff.
Yeah.
So very often you will see ladies wearing them kind of, like a little bikini kind of top thing. Guys will wear them around their wrist. Maybe you use them as a headband. But so if... let's say the camera crew are shooting a scene and they notice that someone is not wearing the buff. Will they stop down for a second and say, hey, could you just put your buff on? Will they have those moments with them?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be a camera operator. They don't really talk to the players. Right. But one of our producers or a second producer, it's very, I can't imagine that really happens. Yeah, okay. It's very rare. And our players, we treat our players, with love and respect. At least, that's what we feel. So it's never contentious or adversarial. It'd be, hey, Dom, I know you went into the ocean to wash off. Couldn't you put your buff back on?
Right.
It'd be very casual. That's not a big deal.
Right.
Honestly, we don't really have any issues with the players. The one thing we ask them, you have to be honest with us in your interview. You cannot lie because that's how we tell the story.
Right.
we don't have people lying. Occasionally, like once every 5 years, there'll be a player in their first interview saying, so you promise you're not going to use this information and then go tell Billy what right. Dom said. And we're right. like, no, our entire foundation is right. built on this trust. Yeah. So, you know, I think one of the biggest misunderstandings with me and players is because I'm sort of adversarial at times that I don't like players or I right. don't like specific players right. or I'm hard on a player. I have respect for everyone with a couple of exceptions of over 600 people.
Johnny Fairplay.
No, even Fairplay's not on that list.
Okay, good.
No. But I just have tremendous respect because they're out game. There doing it. Yeah.
It's a tough game. What one of my favorite things about you as the host is that you have to consistently wear different hats. So there are times where you will kind of metaphorically put your arm around a contestant to get that reaction. There are times in a challenge where you'll be pointing at someone saying, let's go. You're going right. to lose this challenge if you don't pick up your right. game. My favorite version of the Jeff, the host character, is at Tribal because you had told me years ago that the way that a contestant is able to navigate their own way through Tribal is by answering a question honestly. And if you see that someone is dodging or maybe not telling you the exact truth, you'll zero in on them and keep going after them until they're honest.
Well, I remember this conversation. It's not honest. It has to move. It has to have, like, I always tell the players, actually, the contrary. I say, you don't ever have to tell me the truth.
Oh, because they could be playing the game. Right?
Yes. Right. But you have to give me an answer. Because right. what people would love to say is, I don't know.
Right.
Like, Dom, what do you think's happening right now? We've got 7 people, which is a, you know, kind of an unusual number. It's an odd number. I don't know, Jeff. Then I'd say, okay, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
We're going to talk. But we don't also have that issue. We right. put people on the show. But years ago, when we were still kind of figuring out casting, there would be people who would say, it's just strategy. And then I'd think, okay, we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Right.
But now, you know, you're really also making me realize my own growth. I'm not that same. I'm not interested in that same story as a human.
Yeah.
You know, like it used to be Red Tribe versus Blue Tribe.
Yeah.
And we might call it something, you know, Brains, Brawn, and Beauty, whatever it is. For me now, even though there are still tribes, I see this as an individual pursuit because that's where I'm at in my life.
Right.
So you are on a tribe with other people and you do want to beat Billy's tribe because he's on the other tribe. But all I'm seeing is 18 people, 17 people, 16 people, 15 people. So my spiritual place in the world is, why are you here?
Right.
What do you want from this?
Yeah.
Is it really just $1 million?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No, because you'll find that almost every single player across the board when they leave will say, I had an amazing time. This was an incredible experience. Best thing I've ever done in my life. They've not won the $1 million.
Right.
It's only one person that does.
Right.
You know? It's getting through those thunderstorms at night. It's lighting the fire for the
yes.
first time. It's winning a challenge. You know, I remember seeing Siri really struggle with the physical challenges. And then there's a point where she actually is like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do something here. And that's an amazing moment in her life to realize how capable she is.
One of the best moments, maybe the singular best moment that represents Survivor is Siri in, I think it was Game Changers. And Siri is this woman, Billy, who was the first person that ever said, I was watching Survivor and I decided to get up off the couch and apply.
Right,
and she
okay.
represented the every person because yeah. she didn't look like she belonged in a jungle. She was a nurse, a caregiver. She didn't live out in the, you know, weeds, but she came and she played and people fell in love with her. She's still one of the most beloved people of all time, humans and everything. But there was a challenge where they had to cross a balance beam in the middle of the ocean. She couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And there's a point in the story of that where the challenge is clearly going to be won by the other tribe. But that's not what's interesting. What's interesting is you.
Yeah.
Siri.
That person.
You're sitting here right now. Are you going to try to pull yourself up on this platform and try to cross that beam? Or are you just going to say, I'm done?
Yeah.
And all the attention turned to Siri.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, we're not going anywhere. We got nothing to
do but
help you. And she got across. And it was this incredible moment. And then she ends up getting voted out, you know, again, because that's how Survivor works.
That's how it works, yeah.
Yeah, that's the stuff that gives you the goosebumps on your arms.
Absolutely. You can see that already. And going back to the tribal thing, something I was thinking watching it the other day, and this might be very obvious, but you being there, it seemed like everyone had made their mind up, you know, okay, we're a duo and we're going to, you know, it was all worked out before they got there. And then when you started talking to them, I felt like, I think a couple of these guys are changing their mind sitting there in the tribal thing. Whereas I would have thought, well, once you've made me and Dom are going to vote him out, then that's it.
Right.
But it felt like just sitting having that chat, I could see people like change. Does that happen?
Well, you're very perceptive because in the early years, it didn't change very often.
Yeah.
People were petrified and they would just, let's stick.
We've done it. Yeah.
We're good. It's not that way anymore.
Yeah.
And if you say something at tribal that does not jive with what Dom thought you told him earlier, he now starts to think, wait a minute, is Billy lying to me? I may go to plan B. So they have all kinds of signals, you know, tug on an ear, they say a weird word. Right, I don't ever know what they are, but I know enough to know that everybody's playing.
Yep.
And the vote does change. And they, you know, there's this phrase live tribal, which drives some people crazy, but it really just speaks to the idea that if you think it's over just because you're sitting at tribal, it's probably you.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Oh, right. Yeah, the live tribal thing is much more of a modern society, survivor thing. And I love how perceptive the camera crew are in the live tribal, because if one of the contestants kind of does a little, they're on it.
Oh, man.
You know, they've got that lovely close-up, and then they'll cut to you, and you'll be like, okay, I'm just going to sit back and watch
this. Dom, I love that you said that, because sometimes a survivor scene, like a reality scene where there's three people talking and they're conspiring about what they're going to do, it will be, when you see it, it's so good that you just think, well, that's what television shows look like. Right. Because there's a, like you, you all as actors and producers know, there'll be a three shot. There's an over the shoulder. There's a tilt up from the hand to the face, boom over to here. But often it's one camera operator. Mm. In the field, who got stuck alone, three people, he doesn't have a meter, she doesn't have anybody. Yeah. So he's got to get the three shot, the relationship shots, get wider, get us behind. And you look at one disc and you're like, one person shot all of this.
Yeah, amazing.
And as you said, had the instinct to know, Billy's about to say something, I'm going to pull over to Billy, boom, I got.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Got it. Mm-hmm. It blows me away. It's I often say when I'm watching our early cuts, I'll be like, you would think this was a scripted show we had all day to shoot this scene, but it happened in 4 minutes.
Yeah. It can't be scripted because of all of the different human dynamics going on. I think probably must have been 10 years ago, Billy, that I was trying to get you to watch Survivor. Do you remember?
Yeah.
So Billy was, well, more than that, because you were still in Scotland. You went back to Scotland at that point. So it's probably closer to 14, 15 years ago. Been a Survivor fan since it came on. I said to Billy at one point, he's with his wife. I said, what are you doing? He said, well, we're going to go home, jet lagged and stuff. I said, take heroes and villains.
You're so good.
Yeah, I was like, take this. It is my all-time favorite season of Survivor. Take these DVDs, watch it. Then you've got season after season after season that you can keep watching. You lost that DVD.
I lost the DVD.
You lost the DVD. Oh, my favorite season of Survivor, you lost
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he wasn't pleased at that.
No, only did he not watch it, but he lost it. But the pitch that I'd always said to Billy and the pitch that I always say to my friends, who, you know, Jeff, I'm sure you have it nowadays after 42, 43 seasons of Survivor?
43.
You must have people kind of saying, wow, okay, you know, that show's still on, and how do you make it fresh and how do you make it current? I say to them, to my friends, I'm like, it is constantly evolving, the show, but it doesn't necessarily need to, although I completely appreciate why it happens, because the bones, the foundation of that show is so strong. You know, the physical challenges mixed with the mental endurance, mixed with the life at camp, then all the contestants eating each other and backstabbing each other. And then that final thing of all of these people that you've betrayed are now going to decide who wins. Like, I'm going to come and watch the finale with you guys. And you're going to...
You're not invited.
Oh, really? Yeah. You're going to be so confused because you're going to be like, wait, all these people probably kind of dislike the person that they're giving $1 million to, but that's what they have to do.
That's how it goes.
Well, okay, but I'm going to... This is the biggest question around Survivor. I hear all the time, you don't really need all the twists. And, you know, well, we'll never know because that's what we're doing. But here's my argument from a game design standpoint. What I'm doing when we're not shooting is I'm just designing the game. And uncertainty is what compels somebody at Tribal to do what we just talked about, which is, wait, why did Billy say that? Yeah. That sounded weird. Does he have blank, an advantage, a relationship, uncertainty?
Right.
So I felt like watching the early seasons when they were playing out thinking, this idea that if there are 12 people and 7 are together, they can dominate the 5 is disastrous.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You have to make it very difficult. So you start interjecting things into the show, injecting things that makes somebody on the 7 realize, I think I'm 7.
Yeah.
I could be 6 if I went to the 5.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I've been trying to scream from the top of rooftops at today's players who get frustrated with all the twists. It's almost like I'm a parent saying, that which you resist will persist. I'm going to push more and more until you realize this is not what the game's about. Mm. The game is about adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
Shit happens. Mm-hmm. You wake up in the morning, you got a weird feeling, you go to the doctor, you're sick. Shit happens. Mm-hmm. Survivor, you wake up, you find a beware advantage. Do you open it or not?
Yeah.
Beware. Mm-hmm. Also, nod to future players. Beware advantages are not going away and they're not going to get less scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like you do need that. And the mistake players make is they get caught up in it. You know, like the change history twist we did.
Yeah.
There was a guy, Danny, on that season who I think could have won the game. I mean, he's just he's a really smart, super clever, very likable and physical. He could win.
Mm-hmm.
But he got so mad for 48 hours that he took his eyes off the prize. And I still think back and think, did that little course correction hurt you?
Yeah.
Versus, dude, it is. Mm-hmm. You can be mad at me later.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't mess up your game because you're mad.
Yeah, it is just minor things that can change the course of a contestant in Survivor. Well, let me ask you about the beware advantage. The legalities of that, right? Okay. Let's say Billy and I are playing Survivor. And we're walking along the beach, and I see the beware advantage. But I personally think, I'm not going to go anywhere near that. I know what that means. If I cajole Billy into opening it, that's fair game.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Cool. I keep waiting for that to happen because, so far the beware advantage hasn't really burned anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to do things. Like it's going to make you now go get beads to be in, to form your necklace, which... At home can sometimes seem easy. It's not.
No.
That is dicey because if you can't give it away and you can't be too aggressive. So yeah, I think one day somebody's going to probably do what you just said and get lucky and it burns the person who picked it up and it will say, this is why it says beware.
Yeah, yeah. I like, is it Colby? Is that one of the contestants this year? Colby?
Cody.
So Cody picked up the beware advantage. And I like the fact that someone at that point, maybe it was Cody, explained that if with these guys all being super fans, giving away beads on a bag is something that you would want to take home at the end of the game. And so when they're done, when they get kicked out of the game, do you guys, from a courtesy point of view, say you can keep your bag, you keep your buff? What can they keep?
That you can keep, your personal bag and your buff. We used to let you, like if you, say, had an idol and you didn't use it, you could keep it as a souvenir. Right. We don't do that anymore either, because now we think of everything as future. Right. Like, you know, this knowledge is power advantage idea is fascinating because it's such a simple idea. If you know the information with this little piece of paper, you can change the game. Mm-hmm. The question is, who knows you have this little piece of paper? Back to what Billy said, because I told my best friend that I have the knowledge is power. I didn't realize he isn't my best friend. He told his best friend and she told everybody. Something like that knowledge is power piece of paper. One season is going to go from one player to the next, the same piece of paper. Mm. And it'll be cursed. And then in a future season, we'll bring it back and say, this piece of paper has burned four people. So we try to keep all of that and keep it in a locker and, you know, keep it dry in case we want to use it again.
I would imagine that the contracts for the contestants are relatively thick, right?
Relatively thick.
Yes.
If you make it from the start to the end, how long are you there?
26 days. It used to be 39.
Wow.
Billy, it's another bone of contention for some people, because some people feel like, well, if it's not 39 days, it's not Survivor. I don't feel that way
like
at all.
Like the old school people that have won, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. They're like, well, you didn't play the way I played. And I'm not taking anything away from them. 39 days is a long time. There's no reason to argue about this. I'm just merely saying we spent a lot of time redesigning the game, like the fact that there is no food. Mm-hmm. At all for those first 16, 17, 18 days.
People are saying that by day three,
by
right?
day three.
They're just like, yeah, I am struggling. Hungry.
Headaches. But I want to be clear. I'm not, it's apples and bananas.
Yeah.
They're different games.
Yeah.
But this is the game and we like it. And we think there's a lot of runway to play.
So at what point, and I'm sure you've had it during the run of the show, at what point does a medic step in terms of a food? There's always fresh water, right?
Right.
So there's a well or somewhere that you can get fresh water,
a well.
And that water has been cleaned by someone professionally.
Right.
So there's always water.
Correct.
In terms of food, when does the medic step in and say, you know what, guys, this person needs a bowl of rice or this person needs something?
Well, we do, you know, we discussed it beforehand when we knew how many days we were planning to go in this new era. And our medical team was fine with it. You know, they said they'll be fine. They'll be hungry, but they'll be fine. And they can catch fish. And sometimes they do. And they get a little bit of meat. But if something happened and our design was off and they said, you know, they're in trouble, then we would introduce a reward into the game.
Right.
You'd still have to earn it.
Right.
Or we would say, hey, if you're really hungry, give me your tarp. Right. We would do something. We would never just give it. It would still be in the game. But our job is to make sure that we've laid it out in a way that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And you have done that in the show quite a few times where you'll say, I'll give you this for your tarp.
Yeah, well, usually it's when in past seasons, in the 39-day version, they would have a bunch of rice and they would eat all of it.
Right.
And in that case, our medical team would say, hey, they're just eating too much.
Right.
And so that's why there was an invoice. It would be, if you want another bag of rice, I want everything.
Right.
Because we designed this to work and that other tribe, they still have rice.
Right.
So you can't say it's not enough.
Yeah.
It's not as much as you want.
Yeah. It never is.
But it's enough.
I have to say is it 42 seasons now?
This is our 43rd.
So over the 43 seasons, I'm still astounded that less people have chopped their thumb off trying to open up a coconut.
Because I was thinking that the other day. Well,
most people
you're right.
playing the game have never opened a coconut before.
You're right.
And almost all of them give it a go during that time. And you will see people just hacking at it with their thumb here. And I just think someone's going to lose a thumb. So it's not happened yet, has it?
No, but I think the same thing.
It's nutty.
When we do challenges maybe even this season, where you have to take a machete and chop a rope to get something to drop, we put the dullest machete we can because of me. Because I'm always saying to the art department, please tell me that if they, because they're frenetic. Since I became a dad, I see challenges so differently now.
Right.
I'm the worst for the art department and challenge department because I am now the guy going, Oh, it might be too big. That might be too high of a jump. Do you really think, couldn't it be just as cool and we shoot a little lower? And they're like, who are you?
Stop being so responsible. The water challenges are probably my favorite because it's usually not strictly a water challenge. There'll be a water challenge that might involve a little bit of land. Anything that has some element of water in, I love. Let me ask you this, Joe. What do you personally think would be the best at in any of the physical challenges? If you had to run one of those to save your life, where's your strong suit?
That's so good. I cannot believe I've actually not contemplated what elements I would be good at.
Yeah, that's funny.
They always say, would you be good at challenges? But
you'd be good at challenges. You're a very physically fit guy and you know your way around them by now. But where are you strongest?
You're pretty belly.
I'd be good at like I've learned enough over the years about balance beams that you look ahead and you just
go. Right.
You don't look down. You don't take your time. And if you fall, okay, you fall.
Yeah.
I can get up walls. I could untie ropes. I think water, I can swim, but I'm not fast.
Yeah. And how about puzzles? Where are you at?
Well, I was going to say, and going underwater, one time, in the last 10 years, we started a season. The way we're going to start it, we were on a boat and you were going to have to get supplies. And then one person from your tribe had to jump off the boat, swim out. And there was one big giant reward. So the fastest swimmer would get it.
Yeah.
And we were out testing it and they weren't sure, like, is it too deep? And I go, let me go. Cause I'm average.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I swim out. I'm not kidding. Maybe 15 feet, maybe from here to the edge of this studio.
Yeah.
And then I have to dive down only like 4 feet.
Right.
I couldn't do it.
You got no breath.
The ocean is just blowing you around. And it was so good for me to do it because it reminded me on TV, you're like, just when you see somebody do it and it looks easy, they're a stud. They're crazy good because it's really hard. So if it was that kind of stuff, I'd still be underwater struggling.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd be on top of me going, pros, let's go.
Sucking it up. No, I mean, you must have those challenges a lot when people say, when they're watching Survivor, man, you could make that a little easier. Ozzy seems to be just flying through it. And you're like, Ozzy is a one in a million contestant.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, our art department, to your point, this year, usually you go underwater and you would have to unclip something. And it's hard because you can't see. Yeah. It's the ocean. It's not a swimming pool, And you're not going to wear a mask probably sometimes.
Yeah.
Our art department's so cool. A guy made a mechanism where instead of having it unclip, you just squeeze the handle and it releases. Mm. And what it did was, because the test wasn't can you unclip, the test was to see you go underwater and pop this buoy.
Yeah.
And in that one little stroke of genius from somebody in our art department, you now have people who can be a rock star. They can dive down, get to the buoy, and instead of panicking with a clip, pull the lever, boom, it pops.
Because they've done the thing that they're supposed to do.
Yes, exactly, Billy.
Don't fail on technicality.
Yes. And so now it's a rock star moment that you want to do because it's cool. And we got a camera right there.
Yeah, you know what's a great physical one this year I thought was brilliant was the big snake.
Oh, the snake.
Because if you've got two really strong guys, it doesn't matter. Because this, what was it? It's like 400 pounds or something. And it was locked, so two guys wouldn't be able
to. Not enough.
You needed the team.
And it gets wet as well,
That was
that sand
really
in the
smart.
Snake? What's in the snake? Yep. Sand.
Sand, and then it takes on
that
water. And
thing looked heavy, man.
Super heavy.
People hanging off it and stuff.
Well, Billy, that's where you're watching. Like, I'm on the beach going, oh, I hope they can do this. Yeah, we've tested it, but you never know. Yeah. And then slowly but surely, they get the last bit of the tail over the top.
Because you need everyone. Yeah. You need everyone because that was good.
Okay, this goes back to the format. Those first five or six episodes where you're a tribe, you are forced to rely on each other. So if you have somebody that's really great in the water and really strong, you need to keep them to get the snake up.
Yeah.
But then you have to vote people out. And that person's not in your alliance. So you want to vote them out. But if you vote them out, your tribe's weak. You might lose and go. That's the problem with the game.
Yeah.
It all starts to like collapse in on itself. Yeah. It's
they're already talking about it, aren't they? They're like, we need to keep him because he's so strong. Mm-hmm. He can keep us out of the tribal thing.
Yeah.
But we're also scared of him because he's going to win the thing.
He's so strong.
Yeah.
Well, at the moment, we're obviously, we're not too far into Survivor. There's a new episode tonight. But at the moment, Cody is like the front runner. Full of charisma. He's a good looking man. He seems to be playing his game very honestly. He was great in that physical challenge. He's the guy that goes over the other side and basically uses his body weight just to try and pull
Cody's the
snake
guy
down.
Who's off doing his own thing.
Yeah, he's a surfer dude.
Ah, but you see, Dom. He's already lied.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's a salesman.
Yeah.
And
he's
not told everybody he's a salesman.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. You're
because
right.
Because they don't like salesmen.
No.
Led by him. Yeah. That's his idea.
Yeah, he keeps calling people saleswomen. He's like, no, she's a saleswoman. You don't want that person.
Yeah, don't trust someone. But that's going to come
you
out.
You know what else is really interesting is you never know. We never know who the audience will like. We know who we liked when we were out there.
Yeah.
Cody was charming from the minute we met him.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean the audience... You could have they could have vibed on him and went, I don't know, the surfer dude.
Sure.
But instead, everywhere I go, people are like, Cody.
Yeah.
Love that
he
guy.
He just pops. He pops. But
there's a young guy as well. He's good. He's like 19, but he's told everyone he's 23.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they're
like, no one's going to respect someone.
Which
at
is
90.
Funny that he goes, he said 22, I think. He went from 19 to 22. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's enough just to get that little bit of respect,
right? That's true.
They
seem
to be slight mirror images of each other, those two. Both kind of athletic, both, you know, slightly masculine dominant energies, those two. Cody,
a question from my wife from this season: what happened to the girl's chin?
She just got it scraped up.
And was that when she was trying to dig the hole under the...
I don't remember,
because
it's pretty brutal. It's pretty
it's a
pretty
little
nasty.
It's a burn, isn't
I mean
it?
She
it
seems okay with it. She's just kind of rolling with it. There's been a lot of very physical challenges on the show, and then every so often you'll have a physical challenge where you'll put humans against humans, you know, the kind of two netball nets, and you have to put the ball in there. Obviously, in the stuff that we've seen, it can get a little rambunctious.
Yeah.
Are there moments that don't get filmed where you've had to step in and say, guys, you can't throw punches, you can't be drowning people?
But there's a reason we're not really doing them anymore.
Oh, is that?
It just got too...
A bit rough.
Why?
Yeah.
But no, I got to say again to the players... you know, on that, those challenges in particular, I would say, look, obviously, this would be the speeches. You can't throw a punch. If you do, you're out of here.
Right.
Don't hold.
Which has never happened yet.
No. That's don't hold somebody underwater.
Right.
That's just not cool. But then the thing that really gets them is when you remind them, if you get to the end, some of these people, maybe all of them, may be on your jury.
Yeah. Mm.
So play the game the way you want to play. It's okay to play hard, but just... I've gotten less comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because I'm more woke.
Right.
I don't know. But there's no need. Our challenges are bigger than ever this year and next season. This season and next season. They're tougher than ever. They are tough.
Yeah.
But they're achievable.
Yeah.
You just got to work together. They're like, you'll see a lot more walls that you have to get up that you can't get up without somebody.
Right.
It's impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to rely.
Right. You got to build
Billy's
that
shoulders.
Group mentality, and then you got to vote that person out.
Exactly.
In those kind of intimate moments that you guys build into the show, someone's found a hidden idol. They need to have a talking heads moment with the camera crew. Someone's having an intimate moment with the camera crew where they're talking about a loved one that they're missing, or can they get through this next tribal? What's to stop one of the other fellow contestants just to walk down the beach at that point and completely ruin that intimate
moment? We protect them.
So when we're doing interviews. So do you say to the contestants, hey guys, we're taking 10 minutes over here, stay in the camp?
No, we don't say that. We just say, you know, if we were taking you for an interview, we take you somewhere private. And we have a second producer who's watching to make sure that nobody would try, if they were so inclined, to get within earshot of the interview. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't. People don't do that. We wouldn't tolerate it.
Right.
We're really clear that we don't ask for much.
Right.
But you gotta.
But that's not cool.
The only things we ask, like I said, were be honest, and you have to respect our crew.
Right.
Because if anybody did say something, you know, whatever, like, I don't know, say something to a camera operator or a second producer or anybody, we would definitely pull them aside and say, that will not fly.
Yeah.
Everybody out here is busting their ass. But again, Dom, I know I sound like a broken record. Most people are really good to work with.
Yeah, of
course they get tired and irritable and all that, but we understand that.
Yeah.
But we don't really have, like, I'm telling you, this group, they're as likable as they seem,
and we've
just started.
Yeah,
it's we still have so much to get to know about them.
How close are the camps?
Well, not close enough to get to.
They couldn't get to the other.
No,
Right.
I mean, suppose you could if you got in a boat and started paddling.
That was your thing. But what is a normal day? Like cameramen and is there always someone in the camp?
Always.
How many? A couple of cameras?
Several crews during the day. And usually at night, often it's one segment producer who's getting their, it's often their first real responsibility. And it's a big one because the good news is they'll probably sleep all night.
Right.
The bad news is someone might get up, and if they, or good news, I guess, depending on how you look at it, but if they do, it's on you. You're the camera operator. You're the producer.
Don't
if something happens,
this.
You got to get the coverage. And it's right. a real, you know, it's often seen as, oh, I got nights. But for us, it's, this is how much faith we have in you and your future on the show is we're putting you, we're giving you nights.
Right. Okay.
Where
okay.
you're alone. And Billy, the producer will have to sit out there in the rain.
Yeah.
The survivors might have a shelter. It might keep them dry. They're not in the shelter.
No.
They're out there. And every so often in the middle of the night, I will call at the beach just to see how they're doing. It's 3 a.m. Props for TC1. Yeah. How you doing? It's pretty wet. You loving it? Absolutely. All right. Later. Good night.
Yeah.
Okay. Good night. You know I'm not sleeping, Jeff, right? You're going to sleep. I'm not. Yeah.
They were expecting you were going to bring like chicken wings. Or
yeah, right.
Nuts or something.
Not happening.
I love it. They all said basically after one day, they're like, you're never dry here. You're just never dry.
Yeah. The humidity in the air. Yeah.
And then cold at night.
Right.
Yeah.
And then your fire's not always burning, which that little thing of that penalty of taking their flint, if they lose a challenge, you know, we have only so much time in an episode, but, you know, we could do a minute on people trying to get their fire going again.
Yeah.
You know, you guys, you two appreciate this. We're still a linear show. We're on CBS Network, even though you can see it on Paramount Plus.
Yep.
And CBS is still limited to 42 minutes, 43 seconds.
Yeah.
If we were on a streamer, one episode could be 51 minutes.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. What's been the scariest moment as a producer of the show? What's that moment where you're either in the field or you get a phone call that made you go, oh, this is a big problem now?
I think the scariest one was this season when we had a guy, we had three people go down at once in a challenge. They were digging
a roasting hot day. Yeah.
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 And they were digging a hole and the flag was there. They just, it was one of those inexplicable. They just kept missing it. And one woman had sort of just little dehydration, a little heat. She was okay. The other woman was pretty bad. And the guy was really bad. Mm. And I knew it was bad when the woman was vomiting and our doctor said she'll be okay.
Wow.
That's how bad he was. And I was holding his head and there was just a moment there where I wasn't sure. Everything was okay and he's all good.
But you brought in a helicopter for that
situation.
Oh
yeah. Right? Yeah, that was a big evacuation. And that's when you really see how good our safety and teams are. Mm. I mean, we have, you know, this guy, Greg Blandy, he's our safety guy. And a lot of the times he's looking to make sure that you put a railing on something if it's really high, you know, stuff that you could say, okay. But when Blandy needs to be on because something's happening or like somebody in the water's in trouble, he's an expert swimmer. Mm. All of a sudden you go, that's why he's here.
Yeah.
So, and then we have a helicopter pilot, Ken Gray. That's the guy that knows how to transport quickly, can do that. If he has to fly at night, he will.
Yeah.
You know, all those things, you don't want them to ever have to do anything.
Yeah.
And our medical decisions are made by our doctors. We don't have any say on that.
Yeah.
So the deal is, if they can stay, let them stay.
Yeah.
If they can't stay, pull them.
Yeah.
It's up to you. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You've seen it when they pull somebody.
Yeah.
They don't want to do it. But
they never want to do it.
But they don't even hesitate because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to do this, Jeff, because I'm loving watching this, and I'm loving that it's a weekly thing, that I can't binge it, that I have
binging
to
binge it's the best. Go
but
on.
Hold on,
go on.
But if I did want to binge while I watch the new one, what season should I binge?
Oh man, it's a good question. Well, Heroes versus Villains is a good one.
It's a great one.
David Goliath is a good one. Millennials versus Gen X is a good one. Pearl Islands is a good one. China's a good one. Philippines, Cambodia. Honestly, I know I sound like a guy selling brushes,
But Australian Outback's fantastic.
Yes.
You've got
basically,
you know,
I
that
can't
crazy
go wrong
moment with school. No, you can't really. I would probably say, and you alluded to it at the start of us chatting, I don't think you should start with season one.
No.
Because it's not the show that you guys ever envisaged. You could go back after watching a few seasons and go, here's the genesis.
Yeah. Yes.
But it really starts to catch fire, I think, round about season three or four. And then it's just, it's getting better and better.
I it's hard for me to answer it because I'm aware of, I'm aware that I'm talking about the show I work on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think our storytelling is as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
This is what Dom says. He says when you meet him, he says he loves the show. He really loves it in a way that is wonderful.
I drank my own Kool-Aid.
No, I love it. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Which is a great thing, you know, to be involved in a show that you love so much.
Yeah. You're so passionate about it. You're so positive about it. You've always been such a positive person, but there's nothing jaded about having done 43 seasons of the same show. You still love that show.
Well, I'll tell you what really feels good. This is the truth. When performers, other storytellers like you, I have a group of writer friends who've written gigantic stuff, big time movies we've all seen. And when they write and say last night's episode or that scene sequence where this, and this happens, it's so gratifying because that's what we feel we're doing is we're telling a story. It's built inside a game and it's players living on an island. These are all the facts and the players, the characters, or whatever you want to call them. But what we're seeing is this epic individual adventure of people overcoming odds to see what they're capable of achieving. And sometimes it is mind-blowing, and sometimes it's tiny. Like, we have an episode coming up this season with somebody, I won't say man or woman or anyone, but somebody who has a very small moment involving a puzzle that they solve. And in an interview, they say, despite having all these degrees and all this education, they say, you know, I was always kind of told that I wasn't good at this stuff. I am. I am. I just did that. And I saw that interview and went, wow, you've lived all these years. And that tiny little silly puzzle in the middle of Fiji actually was meaningful to you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you came out here. Maybe you will never again doubt that you are good at that stuff.
Yeah. I love that too. I'm always surprised at the end of the challenges. I don't think I've seen it yet. That a losing team, a losing team has not said to you, hey, Jeff, can we just finish it?
Yeah.
It's never happened, has it? I thought the week before last, when Cody's team lost the puzzle challenge and they were close, I genuinely thought they were going to say, could you give us 10 minutes and let us just finish just for our own sense of satisfaction? But I guess they're all so beat at that point, right?
I think that's a big part of it, and demoralized and immediately thinking about tribal.
Right, right.
I mean, you immediately see people go, yeah, we lost. Who's it going to be?
Yeah, it's me.
And
me
I think too. If it was really a big time suck, you know, we also have the confines of Sun. Like, we have to get you back to camp so that we can let you decide who you're going to vote out tonight. So we also have a ticking clock. We got to get you in the boat, get you back to camp, give you time to strategize and do what you want. Because once the sun goes down, we're going to tribal.
Yeah. If you've probably been asked this question a million times before. If you were able to Frankenstein the perfect survivor contestant to win the game out of people that have come and gone, what would you?
That's a good question.
Put them together.
That's a great question, especially lately because we've worked really hard to put on likable, rootable people. You know, I love everybody that's, if we don't have unanimous consent by our producing team, you're not going to get on. So, you know, if you're on, we want you here.
So how many producers have to say yes?
Quite a few. I'd have to count, but I mean, it's a handful.
Right.
And on the flip side, if one person, only one person really wanted somebody and nobody else did, I don't think you get to play that chip. We used to talk about you can have one player, who do you want? But it's gotten to where if we're not all seeing it, then let's just wait and bring them back next year and talk to us. So I think what I'm getting at is the Hall of Fame of Survivor is full of great players who will never win because it's impossible to win.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So I think the skills are, you know, you obviously have to be a good read. You have to have emotional intelligence. If you don't understand when something's sideways, you're in trouble. But you also have to be able to be duplicitous with the right people and be loyal to the right people. Sometimes the right move is telling the truth because Billy is going to be loyal and we're both going to go to the end and one of us will win, but we're going to get there. You and me might play and you might be in an interview going, I can't believe Probst is going to believe me all the times we've talked about this, but I'm taking him out tonight. Yeah. So I don't know, but I try to say, even though I know it's easy to say and hard to do, to play the first time as though you're playing the second time. Because
that's a great point.
What people that are in the Survivor Hall of Fame have never said is woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Right.
They might say, I played the idol, I didn't need to, that cost me. But they don't say, I was afraid to play. No. But it's easy to say because you only get to play once probably. And you want every minute. But if you want to win, you have to play to win because I'm watching too. And if you get to the end and I think you weren't playing to win, I'll never give you my vote because I played to win and I'm out. So I'm going to give it to the other dude or the other woman who played hard and beat me.
Yeah.
But that's easy to say. It's like, are you going to go for a home run knowing you may strike out or are you just going to try to get your bat on the ball?
Right.
Two different outcomes.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like the people with the biggest swings, the most bombastic kind of plays, they obviously stick their neck out, but they usually go pretty far in the game. Also, the contestants that have won it twice is extraordinary.
Right.
Wasn't Rob's won twice?
Only Sandra. Twice, Sandra and Tony.
Oh, you'd like Tony.
Yeah.
Tony's a really interesting New York fireman. So the thing that Tony did, spying at the well,
right?
That's within the rules of the game. So Tony,
I wish more people did it.
Tony was spying at the well.
So where they go to pick up their fresh water every day, Tony erected a little hide and would like...
The spy shack.
Oh, nice.
To listen in to what people were saying. And it paid off for him a couple of
times.
He
worked so hard out there.
He's an interesting
dude. So he built a little thing that he could hide in?
And imagine, you got to do that while other people around.
Yeah.
You got to be really clever. Because if you leave, they think you're doing something. You're looking for an idol.
He was always leaving.
He was always leaving.
What's his name? The little hobbity guy that was with Parvati that no one really.
Oh, Russell.
Him and Russell were always leaving.
And it's a different game now. Russell would have to adapt his game.
Yeah.
Even though if he listens to this, he'll say, no, I wouldn't. Yeah. I'm the greatest of all time. But he would have to adapt, but he might be able to.
Right.
You can't play that game today.
Right.
But now you play a different game.
Genuinely looks like an evil hobbit, Billy. If you can picture an evil hobbit.
I can.
I wanted to ask you, Jeff, because I don't think I've seen you bristle too many times. The only time I ever see you bristle on the show, it's in the finale where we're finding out who's winning. And someone out of the contestants that have been brought back for the finale will mention the editing.
Yeah.
And you'll go, oh,
here we go again.
And we all know. In creating a show, there has to be choices to be made. But I wanted you to respond because you never respond. You just kind of go, okay, we're moving on type thing. But I'd like to hear you respond to the fact that, of course, this is an entertainment show. Yeah. You have to make editorial decisions.
Yeah.
And you're not telling a story that didn't happen. These are stories that happened.
Yeah.
So could you just speak about that for a sec?
In the editing bays, they're probably not posted anymore. But as annoying as this will sound, kind of early on when I sort of took on the show running, I wrote this, you know, this Jerry Maguire moment, which is basically, here's what our moments have to be. And it was, they have to be honest. They can be funny, they can be adversarial, they can be visceral, but they have to have happened. Which means when you're editing, if we do an interview with you on day one and you talk about the marooning, and we do an interview with you on day three, and you talk about the marooning, we might marry those two interviews. They're both about the same thing, the marooning.
Right.
That's exactly what happened. So that kind of structuring of a scene is completely realistic and normal. What wouldn't be okay would be to take what you said on day one and pull out a few words so that you actually are saying something different.
Right.
So we would never do that.
Right.
So that's our fundamental thing. Then you get into... players feel like, oh, you didn't show my the time I told all those jokes, right. I was my so good funny. Side. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And they're right. There's so much great material, but we have a show to tell. And our thing is, this is a murder mystery. If you structure it like a murder mystery, who will be killed tonight? That's what we're looking at. So your funny stories, they just didn't fit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they do and you get in.
Yeah.
Or most commonly, as hard as it is to hear for former players, you're not exactly who you think you are
right.
when you look in the mirror. You are sometimes more annoying. Yeah. Maybe it's because you're not eating. You're not quite as funny. And all those interviews about you, I mean, they're telling you the same thing. So I always feel bad because I get it. I mean, look at me. I've been doing this 22 years. I could point to 100 things that I wish weren't on the show
yeah.
that people mock me about.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm evolving too.
Yeah, yeah.
But the biggest thing I hear is the winner's edit. That's the one that gets me.
Right.
Oh, he's getting the winner's edit.
Right.
She's getting the winner's edit. I'm here to tell you, there is no such thing as winner's edit.
Yeah.
There's nobody in our team that would say, well, Probst, we do have a winner's edit.
Right, right.
We look at the show. We know now. We're writing it just in a different way. When you're in, you know, Lord of the Rings, somebody wrote all these scenes and all these words. Mm-hmm. And then they hire you to come in and bring this thing to life and bring mm-hmm. whatever you are and make it. And that's now what it is. And then somebody edits it and they twist it. Somebody puts music to it. The only difference is we don't write anything. We structure a game and the specifics of what's going to happen. The players write it.
Right.
And then we go back and say, now treat it like a mystery. Pull out that clue because that'll give it away. Leave that clue in because that's right, fun yeah. to nibble on. Mm-hmm. And now at the end, you're like, who's it going to be?
Right.
And sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong.
Right. I mean, it's always the sour person in the finale that says, well, you know, you edited it and you're like, well, that's because you didn't win. It's never the winner that goes, well, you should have
exactly.
edited.
They were perfect.
It's a little bit of sour grapes for those guys. I think my all-time favorite episodes in Survivor are the merging of the tribes and the feast, because very shrewdly, you will often have alcohol at yeah. that feast.
A little wine.
Little wine, nothing too crazy, nice. But they've not drank yeah. for a right. couple of weeks.
They haven't eaten much.
Yes. Not eating much either. They all get a little loose. They all get a little lightheaded. And just as you said there, they're not quite as funny as they think they are. They're not quite as dynamic. You'll get someone that's had three or four glasses or two or three glasses and they let rip and then they'll probably get voted off that day. It often happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're reminding me that a lot of times players will say they didn't show that I was in charge of that vote. They made it seem like Billy was the mastermind.
Right, yeah.
And that is subjective.
Right.
You know, we have all the information. We have what they don't have. We have every single yeah. person telling us. So we're going to go with what we're told.
Right.
But it's possible that you really believe you were the one that influenced it and what you did was gave Billy the agency to believe it was his.
Yep.
So that stuff is a little sticky because there's never an objective answer
yeah.
to who was in control.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody is the hero
yeah.
of their own story.
Sure, sure,
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, should we eat the world?
Well, I think so. I'm starting to feel like one of the survivors. I'm starving.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
Every week on the podcast, we ask people to bring in something that has an interesting story. And you brought in something that I love as well.
Yeah, these are boring, but I know you. I think you like this flavor.
That's my favorite. The black one.
Do you have a choice?
I'll go with that one.
Okay, peanut butter.
Now, you said you live on these. Well, on location. Survivor.
Yeah. What's the other one?
Blueberry.
In this one?
Yes.
Why? What was the brown thing that you didn't like, Bill?
Peanut butter.
Oh, not
a fan. I like peanut butter, but I don't like peanut butter flavored things.
Mm.
I like eating peanut butter.
He's a strange man, Jeff.
Well, these aren't peanut butter. See, that's what these bars are. So let's talk about the RX bar. This is what's in your peanut butter chocolate. 3 egg whites, 14 peanuts, 2 dates, and no BS.
They keep it simple.
14 peanuts.
No, 14 dates, isn't it?
Is it? No, 14
two
peanuts.
2 dates, 14 peanuts.
14 peanuts.
And chocolate.
Wow.
So I'll tell you what's in mine, Tom.
Yeah, go on.
3 egg whites.
Mm.
I need that because I'm bulking just
yeah,
now.
Bulking.
Jeff.
Are you? Well,
yeah.
Jeff will tell you about that.
I've started about 6 months ago. I thought, I want to see how strong I can get.
Really?
Honestly.
Wow.
And I started bulking and I love it. I love eating. It's really fun.
Have you seen Game of Thrones, Jeff?
Yes.
Do you remember the mountain in Game of Thrones?
Yes.
So he Billy's like, there. I'm trying to reach mountain status. And I was like, I fully support this movement.
Okay. I love it.
You're doing well.
I tell you what, I love writing down what I've lifted and then, you know, adding 10 pounds and then adding 10 pounds and then looking back and saying, I am a monster.
Yeah, you are. You're an absolute monster.
Yeah, just for the audience that may not be watching this, but just listening, you don't appear to be quite as big as the monster.
But I'm getting there. I'm getting there. You should have seen me 6 months ago.
It's a journey. Well, you're obviously in great shape, Jeff. In that time that you're away making Survivor, is there a gym? Is there access to a gym? For you, obviously not the contestants.
Yeah, I started building a gym probably early on with like just a little piece of gear. And that's really all I have is a few pieces of gear. But I need it because anybody that works out and feels this way will understand it. I get energy from doing a workout.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not tired afterwards, but I can get really lethargic if I'm not doing it.
Same.
You're the same. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I really do. I only care about Survivor when I'm on location. We're isolated from the world. Mm-hmm. I can call my wife and kids and, you know, with the time difference, we talk for a little bit. Mostly, all I care about, what's happening on the beach, what's happening. And then I just want to try to be my best version of myself.
Yep.
And so having these bars, I will eat easily 4 bars a day, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I could eat more than that.
Mm-hmm. So when you've been packing a bag to go away for Survivor for decades now. So these you ship, right?
Yep.
They're not part of your suitcase. So what are the essentials? What are the essentials that people wouldn't expect when you're going to Survivor for you, where you're like, well
it's changed because in the beginning state, early days, we lived in the weirdest place. We lived in tents. Then we would live in these little tiny modularly sort of homes where you didn't have showers. Mm. So you brought all kinds of stuff.
Sure, sure.
But now we've kind of got it refined, even though we're not on an amazing resort. This place in Fiji, Mana, gives us everything we need. So we have our own rooms. We have our own bathrooms. We have our own showers.
Right.
So I don't really take much.
Right.
I mean, I've had the same t-shirts on location. At least I have a shirt from Ethan Zahn, who was in Survivor Africa, his grassroots soccer organization.
Oh, yeah.
That he gave me in probably season 5 that I've had on location every single season that I wear when I... So if you saw me on location, I look like I'm an unhoused person who's been away for a while.
Yeah.
So I really don't. So mostly you would see these bars.
Mm.
Coffee, like little pods.
Billy's obsessed with coffee.
Okay. I didn't find coffee till like 6 years ago.
I started drinking it during COVID and I've now quit. But you started drinking it 6 years ago and you're still going. I quit. I reached a limit where, so it's true.
During COVID,
during COVID, I said to Billy, these days are so long. Like I'm waking up at 5 a.m. because I'm not doing anything and I'm not feeling tired to go to bed until 10 o'clock at night. And Billy said, in his morning, he said, I have a little practice that goes on for an hour. I, you know, work out what coffee beans I'm going to grind, and then I grind them and I warm up the milk and get everything going. And he said, it takes, you know, 40 minutes to an hour or so. It's a nice little process. You should try it. He sent me a link to this Italian little cafetiere thing. I did it. First week, I loved it. The little buzzy feeling. Wasn't over the moon about the taste, but I was okay with it. But the buzzy feeling of I'm going to spring clean my house, I don't get the buzzy feeling anymore. So I sat down and I was like, if you don't get the buzzy feeling, you don't really like the taste, all you're doing is spiking your adrenal glands and it's not doing anything for you.
I hate hearing this.
I know. I've not drank coffee for probably 3 weeks.
I love it.
Yeah, I've like
always drunk it. I always will drink it. I'll drink it all day.
Sound like you're being stubborn now.
I'll drink it all night.
Billy,
after
nobody's
a meal.
Telling you you can't. There's no authority issue.
No one can stop me drinking
it. We'll go for dinner together and he'll order a latte when we're getting the check. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, no, it doesn't keep me awake.
Yeah, it doesn't keep me awake either.
No,
but I like the ritual.
I can go to sleep right after espresso. It doesn't bother me. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the taste of it. I love just having it in my hand.
Do you know what else
You're
I
talking
learned?
Talking about coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what else I learned to love during COVID? Potato chips.
Oh
yeah, they're good.
That was a new one for me. And now I will send from Amazon, you know, the little packs that have like 6 potato chips in them.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my cupboard is full of those. Oh. And I find when I come home in the afternoon, I'm craving that salt.
Yeah. What's your favorite flavor?
Hawaiian potato chips.
Oh, we were going to do Hawaiian potato chips.
I love those.
So that's just simple salt. Nothing else?
Or pretty sure.
Okay. No flavor.
How does an RX bar, I'm asking here, as somebody who doesn't know, that's got egg whites, almonds, cashews, and dates become that texture?
They must whip it. Do they whip it?
Do you know how they make it? Have
Absolutely
you any idea?
Absolutely not. No.
It doesn't tell us in our notes. I can tell you a few things about them if you want to know.
Sure. Yeah, but Billy, just to clarify, yeah. Jeff does not make the RX bar.
No,
he just
likes
eating them.
Yeah, I know, but I just thought I'd give you some facts about it, if you like. Because I like them and all now. That's lovely, that. Did you know that the founders, Peter Rahal and Jared Smith, started RX bars in their kitchen?
Nope, that sounds like a good place.
No venture capitalists.
Okay.
No consultants. No office.
No
just best friends, eager and broke. They wanted everything about the beginnings up front and in the open, just like the ingredients of their protein bars. Isn't that good?
Mm. I like that. I've tried to make protein bars with a friend who's a chef. And getting them to stay together like this, that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, using a sugar or, you know.
That must be the dates, right?
It must be the date, yeah.
Probably. I mean,
possibly the egg white, because that's quite sticky.
I love the texture of it. And if you like the texture of a food, I think you're halfway there.
Yeah, yeah, such as a Haribo or a gummy bear.
Yeah, but it's got that sort of...
I only eat the black ones. I've tried the blueberry ones. They're okay. I've tried the peanut butter ones. They're okay. I keep the black ones in my fridge.
Billy. What is the black one?
It's dark chocolate, sea salt, almonds.
Really good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
That's delicious.
Yeah, it's good for you. There's a few of these type of bars out there on the market, which I will not mention any names, where after the gym, I used to eat them. And then when I looked at the ingredients, I was like, this is all sugar.
Yeah.
It's just sugar. Yeah. Makes you feel crappy. These never make me feel crappy.
Same.
They're a great snack.
Same. I'm not pitching these.
No,
I just found them.
Too.
And I never feel bad after eating them,
mm-hmm.
but they will, if you're hungry, they will definitely stop that craving for a second until you can, you know, get
and
what you want.
And 12 grams of protein.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Which for somebody who's bulking, like myself.
You're right.
Yeah, you're a monster.
I need that.
Yeah.
No, I like, what we do, Jeff, on the Friendship Onion is we score it out of 10.
Oh, okay.
On a few different things, the first one being flavor, and you can have-
Or taste.
Yeah, or taste.
Okay, flavor, so where are we at on this?
Well- For me, and you can use decimal points, I'm going to give that a 9.5.
Really?
Wow.
You found something new.
Wow.
I think as a bar to keep you going and it's good for you, that I don't think you could get much better.
And you're bulking.
And I'm bulking.
It's pretty good.
I think that's, I'm going to buy them for
and they're
sure.
They're easy to buy, easy to get.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
I love these things too. They're always on my shopping list. They're always in my fridge, especially the dark chocolate one. I can't fault this for taste and or flavor. It's getting it a 10 out of 10. What's going on, Bills?
It's just my watch is talking to me. I think it's added RX bars to my shopping list.
Oh, nice. Well, you'll thank that later. Jeff, out of 10?
Yeah, I'm right there. I like them. Blueberry's actually my favorite.
Sorry,
I give
Jeff.
Blueberry a 10.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Sorry, I took that one from you.
No, it's all right. I brought it for you.
It's delicious. If I was stuck in a desert island, I would stick a couple of them in my sock.
Well, the other thing about an RX bar is if you like that really sweet protein bar, this isn't it. It's mm-mm. not, but it's got enough, satisfies it.
Natural
but I know what
sugars.
You mean. Some of them are so good when you eat them.
Sugar.
Yeah, and
sugar.
Then you're over and you're like,
and
I feel
like milk
worse.
Chocolate, which is not good for you. We'll still talk about the RX bars, but while we do that, the next category is aesthetics. The way that it looks, which will also include the like labeling of the...
I like the labeling.
I like
very
it
clean.
I
will say it's a shame that it's made of plastic. You would think these guys would be like, you know what? We're cool and groovy. We're going to make the packaging out of something that that you can biodegrade a little easier.
Or it's edible.
Or it's edible. You know, there's little packaging nowadays that like turns into seeds, plant seeds. Have you seen that?
I have, no. Yeah.
So there'll be something made out of a type of paper, and then it says, just put this in the ground.
Yeah.
And encased in the paper are flower seeds. Amazing. But it's a good design. It's a 7.6 for me, for design.
I like the look of the bar, and I'm going to take into it the texture, even though it's not aesthetics, because I love the texture. I think the packaging is fantastic, telling you what's in it. Big on the front. I'm going to give that a 9.5 as
oh,
well.
Oh, you're loving it.
I love an RX bar.
I'm right there with you. I appreciate this because I feel the message that they're sending is what they write on there, which is no BS.
Mm.
I probably would have experimented with it just a hint more of life, like a little bit more pop.
Mm.
But if I were going with the no BS, I might have ended up right back here, which is simple color scheme. This is brown and orange is the offset. Mm. And that's it.
Minimalist.
White lettering, yep.
Here's a little piece of trivia for you, because I've been eating RX bars for years, and this happens every time. Every time I eat an RX bar, I will eventually turn it into the map of Spain.
Always?
Every single time. So if you hold the corner and you keep eating, there's Spain.
That's funny.
You guys
well
just
done.
Yeah, thanks. That's where my mum and dad live, just down the bottom.
Aww.
Here's another little fact.
Yeah, go on.
In 2017, those two guys that I mentioned to you, Peter Rahal and Jared Smith, sold it to Kellogg's for $600 million. They were in their kitchen with three egg whites and a couple of nuts. Next thing they know, they've got $300 million each.
Hey, Billy, that's $300 million each.
Well, we need to think of something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how's it going on the underwater helicopter invention?
Well, that's going okay. And the time machine's coming on and all.
Good. Wait, have we done the last thing? No, Billy's favourite category that he came up with. Billy?
How useful is it as a food source? Can you do other things with it? Can it be crumbled up into a cake? Can you use it for soup? I'm not saying this, but you know.
Right.
Can you travel with it? Can you put it in your pocket?
How useful is it? And Dom, even if you do nothing else with this, it's incredibly useful, I would think.
It's great to put in your pocket and go off on a hike, and then you're like, oh, I'm hungry. I've got it right here.
You can give it, like, to, if you know, I would think your kids are that without feeling bad about it.
I'm not giving them extra sugars.
Yeah,
not at all.
I think it's actually very useful as
well. Jeff Probst uses it to stay alive while making Survivor.
How about that?
When he's stuck in Fiji, I'm going to use it now to help me bulk.
Do it, monster.
It's leg day today, Jeff.
Oh, that's damn. A big day.
It's not my favorite day, but hey, it's got to be done.
It does.
It's my favorite leg day because I hate it so much. That's the way that I reverse engineered it. It was always my least favorite day in the gym. I was like, I'm just going to flip the script. So when it's leg day, I'm like, woohoo, it's leg day. And I used to really loathe it.
That's good the way you've done that.
I feel sick leg day sometimes.
No wonder.
Physically sick.
Mm-hmm. It's big muscles. It's big muscles.
Well, big on you because you're bulking. Usefulness.
It's
an 8 for me. It's an 8. It's useful.
I'm going to say it's a 9 for me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a useful food source, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll go 9 here as well, leaving a little room for something, but...
And I feel good about these guys making $600 million.
Me too. I do too.
Honest, good guys.
Yeah. You know, they made something honest and good. Yeah, I love it. That's a great thing to bring, Jeff. Thank you for that. The RX bar wins. Yeah, well, that's a big one.
Jeff, whenever we have people on the show, because this is a show about positivity as well and seeing if we can inspire people, we try and find out the route that our guest went to get to the lofty position that they find they are at now. Mm. If there's someone out there that thinks, I would love to be a host of a TV show, I would love to follow in the Jeff Probst path.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give someone that wants to go down that path?
That's very specific today. I never really looked at it as hosting as much as I wanted to be a storyteller, and I always wanted to be behind the camera, and I made a couple of little movies. But then I realized when I was just starting, I got hired to host some corporate videos, you know, where you would like do stuff for Eddie Bauer or some company. And then I realized, oh, the power of the performer is you're locking that performance. You two locked, you know, you locked in these things that are in our, you know, zeitgeist now. And so being on both sides was really appealing. I never dreamed it would manifest in this way, where I get to be the host of Survivor and also be behind the scenes helping to create it. But getting the job turned on what I thought was the worst job I'd ever had, which was I did a bunch of work in Seattle, and then I got a job at FX, which was this live television network before it became FX scripted. It was just this live thing in New York. It was really fun. And Peter Faman ran it. And what he said was, you're just live television all day. And there was a bunch of hosts there. And he said, just try something. And if it works, do it again. And if it doesn't work, try something else. Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing I was taught, was just be fearless. Just try it. Then I come to LA and I get a job at Access Hollywood, and I still know lots of people at Access and I like them. Wasn't for me. I did not like the red rope. That touched my authority issues. And I also didn't really like having to ask celebrities questions they didn't want to be asked. It just didn't work for me. But one of the interviews I did was with Sandra Bullock. And, you know, when you two do interviews, you're trying to give the person interviewing you something unique so that they can do something with it. Not the same answer, even though it's the same question. She did that with me. She was just really nice to me. She doesn't know me. She doesn't know me to this day. But we kind of flirted in a playful way about her blouse being unbuttoned low. And she went with it. And I put that on my demo tape. It's ridiculous. But what I'm getting to is when I finally got hired by Mark, I said, what was it? Why'd you pick me? And he said, two things. You had done thousands of hours of live television at FX, and I knew the show was going to be live in a jungle, taped, but live. And you had this interview with Sandra Bullock, and I thought, well, if she's willing to be that friendly with you, then, you know, maybe other people will talk to you. Little did he know, she was just a good human doing me a solid. Right. But I always remember and say to people, the job I hated for a year was the job that led me to the job I love. Yeah. So
you just never know, dude.
Say yes. Yeah. Yeah. Just say yes. You know, we know in our business, we meet people like, I don't know if I'm going to do it. Really? You're certain your phone's going to ring tomorrow. Dude, you should say yes immediately and be so lucky to be stuck on that show.
Right, and right. As you say it, it might be something that you're like, I shouldn't, but someone sees that. And then that leads to the thing that you're like, this is what I want to do. But if you hadn't done that one hurdle,
who knows?
You wouldn't have maybe got that. Yeah.
Right when Survivor was launching, I had gotten $1 million to make a movie with Ryan Reynolds and James Earl Jones and Robert Forrester, who's passed away recently. Mm-hmm. But when the movie was over, it was a really fast shoot in Canada. It was a tiny little movie. I couldn't believe I had these actors saying yes. And Ryan Reynolds was not Ryan Reynolds, sure. But he was incredibly talented even then. When it was over, Survivors were cutting it and Survivors hitting, and it's becoming popular. It's the first season. Forrester calls me and says, let's take a walk. So we go hike Runyon Canyon in LA, and he goes, I'm going to tell you a story. I had a good career going. I was in some movies. And then I did a movie that bombed, and I didn't get work again for 25 years until Quentin Tarantino came into a little cafe and dropped Jackie Brown in front of me. Mm-hmm. You're going to be tempted to leave Survivor. Mm-hmm. This show's going to run. Ride this wave until you hit the sand. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even really know what he meant. I knew what he was saying, sure. But like I'd never been on a popular show. I didn't know what he was talking about. Yep. And as the years went by, that wisdom became more and more clear that he was telling me, I've been where Europe could head. Yep. Don't be the dummy that says you're going to do something else.
Yep.
And I've had those moments, as I'm sure you can imagine, where like, God, I am kind of tired of doing the same show. But now I look back and I go, oh, thank God Forrester was in my head.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, that's brilliant, Jeff. As always, extremely inspiring. It's great to chat to you.
Love chatting with you too.
Yeah,
well,
man.
You've certainly got a new fan in me, the show, and you as a person.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Billy.
Really lovely. Yeah, lovely to chat with you, Billy.
And it's thanks. Survivor Day today, so we get to drive home and watch another episode.
Oh, and it's fun.
We're definitely having a finale. I would say a pizza night.
You're not invited.
Really? Well, could I invite your wife to my house?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
My wife is loving it as well. She's new to it as well.
Well, tell her hey and
she's,
thanks.
She's loving it. It's such a fun, it's a great show. And it's got a great feel about it, even though it is a game that people are backstabbing and stuff. For some reason, there's an optimistic feel about it.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
There's a fantastic escapism to Survivor. Yeah. The color scheme, the animals, the ocean. If I've ever kind of had a little bit of a humdrum day, going into that world where you're like, wow, look at this place out there. Look at this amazing planet that you all live on. It's very positive.
Ah, I love hearing all that.
Jeff, it's been fantastic to have you.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, man. All right, you guys. We'll see you next week. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can get our merch at thefriendshiponionpodcast.com. And you can check us out on YouTube, Friendship Onion.
Yeah, and leave a message at speakpipe.com/thefriendshiponion. We're off to watch Survivor.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Toodles.
A
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.